Imperial Media presents The Brooke Taylor Show. Encounter, adventure, evangelize. And now your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome to the show. Hello, my name is Brooke Taylor, and this is a very special episode, so thank you for being part of it. It's Holy Week, and we're going to do something a little different this year. I decided to go back and put together a best of for this week's show, and with the help of my producer, Mark, I think we've done that, so I'm really looking forward to sharing some of the best programs we've done dedicated to Holy Week and sharing pieces and parts of that here. So you'll hear 15 ways to celebrate Easter with your family, cherry picking from the list. There are some simple, some beautiful, in some cases, some forgotten ways to enter into the joy and the reverence of the resurrection as a family. We'll touch on that. Also, Father Leo Padalinghug, last year he joined me to discuss menu ideas for Holy Week and Easter Sunday. And it's really interesting because, of course, we were in lockdown last year. No jam-packed Easter vigils with catechumens and the candles. There were no Easter buffets or brunches, no large gatherings. In fact, one of the things that came back to me in our conversation was that really even our trips to the grocery store were sparse about a year ago right now. So as I was reflecting on that, it really actually took me back to the sorrow, but also the beauty of making the best of the situation at hand. So you'll hear that referenced. Father Leo talks about using leftovers to make simple meals, how to embrace the cross, and some really mouthwatering, fantastic ideas that you can implement into your Holy Week menu. It's not too late. So I'm really excited to get that out to you now. And it was fun to put this together. So I hope you enjoy it. With that, let's jump right in. This week is unlike any other. Holy Week, the last days before the stone is rolled away, humanity forever changed. And reflecting on this Lent, for me, I feel like it's been a time that's escaped through my fingers before I could grasp all that it has to hold. So we want to really focus on the interior transformation, preparing our heart for the profound mystery of the days to come. So we're going to talk about 15 ways to observe Holy Week with your family. Among other things, gifts. When we celebrate Christmas, we buy the gifts. But for Easter, Christ is the one who has bought the gift. So let's jump in. Today's prayer is a reflection from a book. It's called Suffering, the Cross of Christ, and Its Meaning for You. It is a splendid book. It's by Hubert Van Zeller, written as we fix our eyes on the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ these days ahead. So I thought it would be a good place to start. And here's what he says. Christ did not say, "Take up your joy and follow me." The test of discipleship was to lie in the cross. So when the cross was actually placed upon his shoulders, Christ was concerned with teaching us the terms of suffering discipleship. From our point of view, the question, which at the moment needed answering, was not how to direct a feeling of joy, but how to meet the circumstance of pain. The manner of Christ's acceptance gives us the lead we're looking for. He accepted the cross as a pain, but he accepted it with joy. So it is that the Christian understanding as fashioned by Christ himself, joy and pain are not exclusive but compatible. The deeper the one, the truer the other. The passion, because it is life, is a matter of falling and being dragged up again. Our own story and Christ are seen to have this unexpected affinity of weakness and renewal repeated until the final revelation of grace. Amen. May you feel the freedom from the chains and the courage to suffer the daily crosses of our lives, lifting ourselves up to him. God bless you, friends. There's a great book called The Donkey That No One Could Ride. And every year I cry, every year I bring it out in preparation for Palm Sunday. And that idea, Hosanna in the highest, in Aramaic, it means rescue, save. We need a savior. And that is the great triumphal entry. And then, of course, as we leave, grieve, and prepare for the days to come. And so what I think is so neat about Palm Sunday is it's a tactile experience. Everybody in the church gets a palm. We're waving it. We're reading the scriptures. And I think those elements that you can see, hear, feel, taste, smell, those provide such a vivid impression to kids. And I need those reminders too. So I pulled up some ways. These are 15 ways to observe Holy Week with your family. I'm just going to skim through, but I will also post this so you can link up to it as well if you want to check it out with your family. It's from crosswalk.com. But just to go through the list, so some of on the list include resurrection eggs. Maybe you've seen this. It's an egg carton. It's filled with a dozen plastic eggs, easy to put together. Each egg has a symbol containing something of Holy Week, accompanied by 12 child-friendly lessons, age-appropriate if you have littler ones. Next on the list is seeds. Seeds offer a clear message to children of the power of new life. Rest eggshell halves filled with soil in an egg carton. Plant a marigold, a petunia, grapefruit seed in each, even grass, because that's a fast result, and do that in preparation as you place it in a sunny window. And we are in a time of spring and new life. The egg represents new life, and that's important too. Art museums. The Passion of Christ is the most portrayed subject of Western artists. If you live in an area where there is an art museum, go visit. That might be good for the older kids. They'll have time to sit and reflect and have it be a meditative experience that's pretty cool and shows you, I think, anything that sets up that Jesus was a real person in a real place. This is not just a story that was told, but that helps us live it out as well. House cleaning. Wednesday of Holy Week has traditionally been a day in many countries for house cleaning. It's actually dated back from the Jewish custom of cleaning before Passover. And so we want to just air everything out, clear everything out as we clean our hearts and prepare them and the communal penance services that are going on. So it's a similar idea. Everything is clean and pure and ready to receive Him on Easter Sunday. Good Friday, another tradition that you might want to implement. Sing old hymns of the crucifixion. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? That's one of my favorites. Stations of the Cross, of course. Good Friday services, you are invited to be a part of that. Hot cross buns, that's our traditional Good Friday fare for many families to eat together, the hot cross buns. A couple more here. Saturday of Holy Week, you can watch The Passion of the Christ. Again, that might just depend on the ages of the kids. We recently watched Son of God, and that was so good. You can get it on Amazon. I recommend that. On Easter Sunday, this is one of my favorites. Just for that morning, Easter greeting. Have an Easter greeting that you have ready for Easter morning. Greet each other with, "Alleluia, the Lord is risen," and answer, "He is risen indeed." Make it a fun thing, a celebratory thing. And now we can say alleluia, which we haven't said all of Lent. Climb a hill with your family. Share a picnic breakfast. I think that's great. I think that's a beautiful one, especially if you go to the Easter vigil and you've had a late night and you can get up early as a family. And new clothes. New converts were traditionally baptized at Easter, which so wearing new white garments symbolizes their new life. If your family has new Easter outfits, share with your children where this tradition came from. Somewhere in the Easter celebration, you may be coloring eggs, visiting relatives, and that can also be a subtle way of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, because the eggs are a symbol of new life, and they used to traditionally be something that was forbidden during Lent. I didn't know that. So it's an opportunity. There's so many fantastic resources and different things out there. Those are just a couple to get us thinking if you're like me, a little bit behind where you want to be, and really make the most of this final week leading into Easter. Taking a brief break to thank our sponsor, Select International Tours. In 1633, the villagers of Oberammergau, Germany, asked God to save them from the Black Plague and committed to performing a passion play every 10 years, beginning in 1634. God delivered. The people have been faithful to that promise for over 400 years. The play has only been postponed during times of war until the year 2020, when, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic forced a two-year postponement. So in 2022, the passion play returns, and the world is waiting and ready. In fact, Father John Michael Paul and I will be going from June 7th to the 18th and invite you to join us. But space is limited. And in addition to the tremendous experience of the Passion Play in this beautiful Bavarian village, we will also visit Munich, Strasbourg, Paris, Lourdes, and more. And in honor of Women's History Month, you can save $150, and Select will donate $50 in your name to Christian women empowerment programs in the Holy Land. Just mention Women's History when you sign up for your trip. Again, you'll save and $50 donated, but that Promotion ends at the end of this month. Visit my page on the Select International website. You can see all of our upcoming trips to options to the Holy Land and reserve your spot for the trip of a lifetime. SelectInternationalTours.com. No, this is such a rich time for us. Certainly, this is a penitential time, the season of Lent. But I also think that we associate with our menu more than any other liturgical season when we are in Lent because we begin. We have the feasting of Mardi Gras, Shrove Tuesday or Fat Tuesday, and then the fasting of our Lenten Fridays. And in the Eastern Rite, the fasting is even more robust, from abstaining from meat and dairy and wine every day during Great Lent, even in some cases fish and vegetable oils. In the Western Church, it's primarily meat on Friday that we abstain from. And this week brings even more opportunities. I love that every day we can come alive in our homes so deliberately. Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday, Spy Wednesday, Holy Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and of course, Holy Saturday and Resurrection Sunday. And I'm delighted to introduce you to Father Leo Padalinghug, who has a charism, a particular holy gift in helping inspire ways of taking these days and using meals to tell the story, the bitter herbs, the hearts of palm. You'll hear him talk about that. And should we have Seder meals in our homes? There have been some questions about that. So I really love, we get into that, how he explains and illuminates that. One word of warning, though, I will say that if you're fasting, this is going to be a test of your asceticism, because he talks about from the powdered sugar on a Monte Cristo sandwich to enjoying every bite of dessert. But in true Father Leo fashion, he does it with grace and holy humor. And I cannot wait for you to hear this conversation. Here now, my interview with Father Leo Padalinghug. Father Leo Padalinghug, a priest, member of a community of consecrated life, Voluntas Dei, creator and founder of an international food and faith movement. I'm sure you're familiar, Plate and Grace, an author, TV host, speaker, award-winning break dancer, two-time black belt martial arts instructor, and so much more. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thanks. Whenever I hear it, it just sounds so weird, but that is my life. And the fact that God called me really means that there's hope for the world.
I know. I mean, people might think I'm kidding about that, but you really are a black belt break dancer.
Yeah, I break boards, I break dance, and now I break bread.
Which is the best. Thank you. And all the places you could have put your talents, thanks be to God that it is for the kingdom, for our Lord, and for the new evangelization. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As you talk about Mass and we talk about the Eucharistic table, we also, as you liken it to the cloister of our home and the domestic church, we have our family table, and we're already now in Holy Week. Can you help us with a bit of normalcy? We're in our family planning on making pretzels. I love that. That's a tradition that I think goes all the way back to the 5th century. But just the shape of the dough looking like arms folded in prayer, I felt like that's a comfort food and something simple that our kids could do. Could you maybe give us, because that's what you are in addition to a priest and all the other titles, is a chef. Give us some maybe basic staples as we go into this time.
So I would say take the pressure off of you. And I say turn the creative skill on. Although I am creating literally a series, a little retreat for Holy Week, and each day is going to come with a recipe. My Palm Sunday suggestion is to take the palms from the can, basically hearts of palm, and turn that into a delicious dish that is so fresh, and it could either be used as a salad, but I actually cook it down, and it creates almost like a nutty flavor as you would get with artichoke, and you can turn that into a lasagna, into a pasta, into like a cassoulet. So there's a lot of great things that you can do, but don't complicate it for this week.
That's right. I really appreciate this because I felt out of my league with you, Father, because you've cooked with like faced off with Bobby Flay and all these amazing chefs. And I'm thinking, I'm just cooking in bulk right now. Very simple. Yep. But you're on it. I mean, you've got this. So I love that idea with palms.
Yeah,
I'm thinking artichoke hearts, but what is that?
Same thing. So palm heart, it's literally the inside of a palm tree. And so I'm actually going to be doing a whole presentation and just making it available for folks about what Palm Sunday really means for people and how at one point those palms were eaten as a kind of remedy, which is one reason why they waved it, because Jesus was the remedy who can only redeem us and heal us if we eat him, eat his flesh and drink his blood. And so what, you know, just the idea of making a meal for your family, I think that at this stage of the game, you need to involve your family. You need to maybe ask them what they want to eat and you teach it to them so that this is a time of transmitting not just food for the body, but a memory. So even if the food is not good, make sure that there is meaning behind it, and I guarantee it will be one of your family favorites.
Even if the food is not good, you must have a video into my kitchen.
That would be creepy. That would be creepy.
Yes, it would. It would be very Alexa. But you know what, though? It's beautiful because it's true. You're transmitting, and that's the key phrase you said right there. More than just, we're putting this in our gullet, but there's a liturgy almost of that. That's very beautiful.
You said it. In the word liturgy in the Greek, liturgos, just means work. And it is a tremendous work this day, now more than ever, to try to feed your family and to try to make the peace and to try to, how shall I say, mimic the liturgy at Mass. Because what happens at Mass is supposed to be happening at your dinner table, and people aren't making that connection. So a lot of people always look at me as like, oh, you're just that little priest that does those cute little videos about cooking. And I want to say, you know, thank you. I've never been called cute before in little videos because I got a big mouth. But the reality is I'm trying to have people deepen their theological experience of Mass and your meal at home. If you separate the two, then you're doing both incorrectly.
Mm. What are your thoughts on the Seder meal, a Passover meal? I remember it was really big for a while, and then I was reading different things about it. There's been some question about if the faithful should do a Passover meal for Holy Thursday, making the case instead to concentrate on Jesus being the fulfillment of Passover. So is there a sweet spot with that?
Yeah, it's called not either or, it's both and. And a lot of people love to just create these controversies in the Catholic Church. And granted, you know, minutia matters, but it doesn't have to become a mountain. Really, it doesn't. And so take the Seder meal and Christianize it. That's kind of what we did anyway. It was a very 70s and 80s thing, very post-Vatican Council, but it was really an opportunity to try to reconnect with our Jewish brothers and sisters, which is not a bad thing to do at all because they can teach us a heck of a lot about who Christ is because he was a good Jewish boy. And so I think that if we are able to enter into the culture without it becoming a cult, then we're okay. Combine them. That's called fusion in recipe making. And guess what? Our Catholic faith is fusion. We're a combination of many cultures. Let's not poo-poo one over the other. Let's make sure we can find something to learn from each.
I love that. And you're right. It is the story of our history from taking pagan buildings and basically baptizing them and making them churches and Christian. I remember St. Francis hearing that he would take these medieval hymns about knights and ladies and sing to Our Lady and make that a Christian hymn. So it is a beautiful idea. And do you have any staples, unleavened bread or lamb that you like or suggest?
Particularly for this Holy Week, for sure. In the Philippine tradition, we would always have some sort of long noodle dish because that long noodle represents the longevity of the blessings. Kind of superstitious, but hey, it's a lot of fun to consider it. And it tastes pretty darn good as well. But I certainly love to focus on the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And, you know, instead of being so dramatic with these big lamb chops that we have to kind of contend with, I always just say, make it a portion. And, you know, if you get a rack of lamb and you just cut them down individually, they cook literally in minutes and they taste a lot better and the temperature for it is more controlled. Some people don't like rare. I personally like it, but it's got to be medium because lamb is so fatty, it's hard to chew otherwise. So I say make sure that incorporate a little bit of these traditions. Don't make it the focus. Just feed your family with something good and give them a taste of some spiritual food as a side dish.
Easter Sunday, then, any suggestions, a breakfast, banquet at dinner time that would be simple into our own menus?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And actually, what I'm going to do for my breakfast is I'm going to combine all of the meals into one, and I'm going to have just like a big bruncher, which is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? And so, and I'm literally going to be making some Monte Cristo sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Do you put the powdered sugar on
Absolutely,
there?
Absolutely, because it's got the ham, which, you know, like an Easter ham we always do. And being a Christian, I can eat cheese with meat. So I'm going to actually put a little bit of a funky cheese on it, and then using that beautiful kind of Jewish challah bread and battering it down, frying it in clarified butter, hitting it with the powdered sugar, hitting it with the sweetness of consolation, a little bit of fresh honey that I actually have from Jerusalem, and just drizzle it on top instead of maple syrup, and all of those flavors.
And that's what I wanted to ask you. How are you approaching Easter? There's so many that we're in grief, and you know when someone dies, you don't feel like celebrating, and the holidays, it becomes more acutely intense. And so I'm just wondering, maybe a sense of counsel that you could offer us in the way that you're approaching it.
Yeah, two things. I think one of the things is to be human and also to be spiritual. Our humanity is always going to experience a little bit of negativity. Brooke, Easter time and Christmas time are generally times when people feel a lot of depression and a lot of suicides occur because they do feel alone. We also have to remember that for the Jewish disciples, you know, Easter wasn't a time for them just to eat like chocolate eggs. No, it was actually the beginning of persecution. So when I talk about this on a spiritual and human level, we just have to admit the truth about ourselves. And number two, we kind of have to grow up in our faith and not fear negative feelings. It is a part of who we are. That cross is still the center of attention. Even on Easter Sunday, we still have a crucifix as what calls us to prayer. And also just to remember that, especially for those listening to this show, that means that they either have radio, they have electricity, they actually have the internet. This is not bad for us. You know, if we have a roof over our heads and technology and the internet, we're doing like better than maybe, you know, 80% of the world. And so what I recommend is just to admit where the pain points are, ask God to say, well, how can I gain strength from it rather than that pain point overcoming my strength? And then thirdly, here's what I say. Order a really cheesy, fatty pizza with a lot of pepperonis. Put on like your big boy clothes and a blanket, and then make sure your dessert is close by so that you don't have to walk too far. In other words, while there is this pain, there is also something that we can do and take pleasure in some little joys, including just hug the heaven into your children.
I love that. It reminds me of the scripture, weeping is here for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That is the story of the cross. It's the roses and the thorns. It's the cross and the crown. And like you said, to acknowledge and to examine the pain points and to offer those up, to use that, because God uses everything, as we always say on the show, and also not be afraid of the stretchy pants.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, when we work so hard, it's got to be for what end? When people exercise, it's because they want to either be healthy or, let's admit it, they just want to look good. And that is kind of related to pride. But when it comes to something like this Holy Week and Easter, let's make sure that we don't push away the pain, but acknowledge it and learn from it. And then do something that does give you a little sense of ethereal joy, and just remind yourself that that is just a foretaste of what will come in heaven if I but bear this cross well now.
Amen. Well, like a good chef and a good speaker, you've left us wanting more. So how do we connect with you online? I definitely want to hear your messages. And you're going to be doing some food videos this week, right?
People can always find out just by going to platinggrace.com. That's my website. Or they can find out information at my social media, Father Leo, and I feed people. Father Leo feeds.
And you do. And we want to support you. Thank you. God bless you. I am already hungry for pizza and lamb, oddly, but
that would be delicious, actually. Hey.
I don't know. And we will be enfolded, I know, into what you're doing online and want to make sure to pray for you as well. So thank you so much, Father.
Thank you. And God bless you all.
Thank you again to Father Leo Padaling Hug. Hug the heaven into your children. That might be one of my new favorite phrases. I need to put that on a sticky note. I love that so much. And again, it's platinggrace.com. That's the website to learn more about Father Leo. As we close the last few minutes of the show, I wanted to end with a reflection that really has left an impact on me. There's so much, first of all, to focus on during Holy Week, as I think we just heard. And how is it possible to do justice to these days, looking at the most important week in the life of Christ, from time and place to the political conditions to the prophecies, all that goes into it. So instead, I want to just hone in on one fixed point of the passion and the symbolism, and that is the olive tree. We meditate on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane every time we pray the Sorrowful Mysteries, of course on Holy Thursday. And after my first time in the Holy Land co-leading a tour, I shared this with my pilgrims, and I want to offer it to you too as we consider the olive tree as a closing reflection. Olive oil was used to anoint prophets and kings. It was also used to light the lamps in the temple of Jerusalem, Exodus 27:70, Leviticus, and for medicine and for anointing oil in religious ceremonies, Exodus 30. Anointing with olive oil is associated with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know that in confirmation. And this is both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The olive tree is a sign of peace between God and humankind. We think about Noah and the dove and the olive branch. Since that time, the olive branch has symbolized peace to the world. Palestine is described as a land of olive trees, Deuteronomy 8:8. In the New Testament, when Jesus of Nazareth entered Jerusalem, the people received him with olive branches. Of course, Jesus was described as the anointed one. Early Christians were called Nozrim Masahin, which in Aramaic and Arabic means anointed with olive oil. In the Garden of Gethsemane stand 8 very ancient olive trees under which Jesus prayed while the apostles slept during the night of agony. Traditionally, it's believed that when the Roman soldiers were on their way to arrest Jesus, a blessed olive tree opened its trunk and invited the creator of the entire universe to hide inside. The Lord, therefore, it is claimed, blessed the olive oil and the olive tree, and that's just a portion of such a beautiful reflection on the symbolism and the beauty of the olive tree. That article was written by Namir Haddad, and he goes on to tell the story of the destruction, the decline of the olive trees in Bethlehem and Palestine, and Arab Christian areas, which is how they make their living, and particularly the need for assistance by fellow Christians when that Holy Land collection is taken on Good Friday. So something else for consideration. And it also makes me think of our conversation with Father Leo as we use olive oil for our cooking, even to take a drop and just make the sign of the cross on your wrist or your grandchildren's forehead in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, friends. Have a truly holy, grace-filled Easter. My name is Brooke Taylor. A big thank you also to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, so for any audiovisual needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Until next time, happy Easter. God bless you. Peace and love.